Okay, Bible in turn, Titus, chapter 1.
What I have titled this lesson on my notes is more about the conscience. Father in heaven, we need your direction. We are truly dependent on it. Lord, we know that the words of man may be informative, but they certainly cannot deal with the heart. We ask your Spirit to do that with us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Titus chapter 1, verse 15. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. They'll see something dirty in everything that's said or done. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. Their mind and their conscience is defiled. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3, where Paul says, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience. Some, you see, could make anything dirty, but as it says in the beginning of that verse in Titus, unto the pure all things are pure, and the Apostle Paul says that he served God with a pure conscience. and so that's the goal that we ought to have, to serve God with a pure conscience. The conscience is a God-given ability, a tool to evaluate words, ideas, actions. And now this ability brings with it responsibility to make the right choice. And so when somebody says something, it may be projecting an idea, and there's certain actions that they may have as a result. Now, we have a responsibility with our conscience to make a right choice. Are we going to reject bad things? Are we going to accept good things? That's part of the work of the conscience. And we must therein respond. That's a responsibility we have. In Acts chapter 23, and we're going to be turning to a lot of verses. And as Pastor says, if there are more than you care to turn to, then just sit and listen, and you can look them up later. Take a piece of paper, the bulletin if you got it, and write down the verses there. Acts chapter 23, verse 1. And Paul earnestly, beholding the council, said, Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God. Now that's significant. You know, I can say I've got a good conscience, and I'm meaning in my everyday living and in relationship to other people, but Paul clarified it, and he said before God. And chapter 24 and verse 16, it says, And herein do I exercise myself. Now, that's not exercise like push-ups. I told you that last time we looked at this verse. You're aware of that. But the putting forth the effort regarding these matters, herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man. And that's the way it ought to be, that we ought to have a conscience that is clean and without offense before God, as God is our witness. Now the standard by which we evaluate matters is God and His Word. Not my opinions, not somebody else's opinions that I may admire, but by the standard of God's Word. Look what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards, that's managers, of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself. Yet, am I not hereby justified, but he that judges me is the Lord. The standard is the word of God.
Amen.
He's the one who judges, and just this doesn't mean just that he judges a particular action that I have, but my life. He's the one that judges it. And so I can come up with what I think to be a fine standard that my conscience can live with. But if it's not based on the word of God, it's not going to make it. And so the standard is God's word, not family traditions. Okay, well, that's the way our family always did it. Doesn't matter. If it's not in agreement with the word of God, if it goes against the word of God, then you need to avoid that family tradition. Now, I didn't say all family traditions, but that one or ones that are not in agreement with the word of God. Well, that's the way we've always thought about it. Well, you've always thought about it wrong then. And or friends, okay? You have a bunch of friends you're involved with. You know, that bunch might be only three or four. But you're involved with them, and they're going to be looking at you, and they're going to be, you know, evaluating what you do and whether you're accepted or not accepted in the group. If it's not based on the word of God, it doesn't make it. Or community mores. What is the general overall opinion of the society in which we live? If it's not based on the word of God, then it doesn't count. And definitely not political positions, okay? Well, my conscience is clear. Why? Because I'm thinking the same way as the Republican Party. Or I'm thinking the same way as the Democrats, okay? Or I'm thinking the same way as the Independents. Did I get them all? Okay. You know, it doesn't matter what the political persuasion is. Now, I might have a view that coincides with a particular political position. That in itself is not wrong. But if that is not in agreement with the word of God, then I need to not hold that particular position. Now that's going to make a big difference, isn't it, when it comes to this matter of politics. I want to look now at the types of conscience in the Bible. And we're going to be going through, again, a lot of scriptures. Would you two young men, good-looking fellows, pass them out, please? Lay any extras over on the table. Or make room in a pocket over there and put them in the pocket. Types of conscience in the Bible. Broken down into four different sections. Okay? The first is negative or bad conscience. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22 talks about an evil conscience. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. And that, you know, people that live with an evil conscience will accept things and do things that are definitely against the word of God. Titus chapter 1 and verse 15, which we read to open with, talks about a defiled conscience. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, even their mind and conscience is defiled. Another negative or bad conscience is in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1 and 2. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. You see, the conscience, and I'm going to say this again later, the conscience can be defiled. The conscience can be ruined. The conscience in and of itself is okay, but it is not an adequate guide because it can be defiled. It can be evil. May not be that way at one point, but because of influences that come in a life, the conscience, you see, can get into that condition. So you have those three negative or bad conscience. And then you have the next two that are, I'm calling, non-beneficial conscience. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, and we're going to look at verse 7. Howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge, for some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. Okay? This is, of course, the big thing that Paul dealt with in his day, and that is meat that was offered to idols. Could you then go in the marketplace and buy the meat? Some people felt they could, because they knew the idol wasn't real and they knew the meat, okay, was just that, plain old meat. But then there were others, because of the connection of that meat with the temple and the idols, they felt it was wrong to eat it. And he calls them there in verse 7, their conscience being weak is defiled. And so that's the idea that I approached previously, and that is our conscience can be affected. And in this case, they had a weak conscience, okay? And now, usually, when somebody takes a strong stand on something like these people that wouldn't eat that meat, and they as they went about explaining it and talking about it, you see, they build a pretty strong case. And you'll find that in our kind of church circles, whether you call it fundamental or conservative or Bible-based or whatever you call it, you'll find that there are certain practices that somebody feels they shouldn't do, and then they're not content to just themselves practice it that way. They want to have others see their view. And so they really go on and stress this and in such a way that anybody listening is going to feel guilty for not doing what they think. And actually, the one that looks so strong on that subject is, according to what Paul says here, they're the weak ones.
That's right.
You see, they're the weak ones. Now, that doesn't mean that the ones who could eat the meat, they were super spiritual. No, it simply means that they could eat the meat. And we shouldn't read into either position more than what is actually there. So you see, a non-beneficial conscience, it just doesn't, there's no benefit to it. And then in Hebrews chapter 9, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14. Where are we at here? How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God. You see, rather than the blood that came from the sacrifice animals, now Jesus Christ gave his blood, and that superseded, exceeded, went way beyond what the original blood was able to accomplish. And he says here, the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God. Purge your conscience. Purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. There are some things that we may have within our conscience and our value system. Remember, conscience is connected to a value system. What we feel is valuable, what we feel is not valuable, what is okay to do or not okay to do. And here he's telling us that there are some things that need to be purged from the conscience, from dead works, to serve the living God. So there's some positions, some teachings that an individual may hold on to that are commonly accepted within a circle. The Word of God says, you know, some of these things need to be purged. They just really aren't as important and valuable as what we make them out to be. Now, trust me, that would be five more lessons to go into what kind of things. First of all, we'd find them out from you. What is it that you don't do that you feel other people do and are wrong for doing? Thinking, okay? Way of living. We'd have to find that out from you. You say, well, why don't you just illustrate with your life? That's fine if some of my life covers yours and then and God will speak to you through me. But there's things that you do that I don't do.
That's right.
There's things that your conscience feels that you shouldn't do that I feel I can do. And remember, I introduced it before, what the Bible teaches regarding Christian liberty, the law of liberty. It allows me to do certain things that your conscience won't allow you
That's
to
right.
do.
Yeah.
And don't you do them just because I do them.
Right, brother.
In the process of pastor teaching, he has introduced many things, illustrating with his own life. And I know how it goes. This isn't my first ball game, you know. But there are people who they need some pattern, some example to follow. And therefore, the evangelist comes in, the evangelist talks about things, and he illustrates something, and that's the way I need to live. That's the way I ought to think about this. I never saw it that way before, but that's what I'm going to believe. No. Let God, the eternal spirit, okay, that applies the blood, let him give you how you ought to live. Now, you say, well, aren't you afraid in saying that some people are going to live in ways that... No, not... Remember, the basis of the whole thing is the Bible. You say, well, you get a view of it certain ways, and you base it on the Bible, and I get a view of that same subject, and I base it on the Bible, and they're different. Does the Bible contradict itself? No. The way God applies it in my life and your life, you may have the liberty to do or to not do that I don't. Or I may have the liberty to do something. Okay? I may feel not only the liberty, I may feel the responsibility to live or to do certain things. Now, I can illustrate with our home. Let me tell you, when you're driving down I-86 and Pat is behind the wheel, it will not go over 65. Okay? One time I looked over and I said, do you know you're going 68 miles an hour? Oh, no, it didn't. And that's off. She will adhere to that speed limit constantly, precisely. You know, we're driving, now I'm driving, now I'm behind the wheel. I'm going down through the highway. Is that a policeman? She said, what's it matter if you're going to speed limit? Well, I just don't feel that strong about it. Well, if your conscience with the Word of God, you know, it says, you know, in Romans, obey those rules that the government gives you, they're there for your good. You see why I say it? We'd need to illustrate these things with your life, because already some of you got silent on my illustration. Some of you agreed with my illustration. So we need to purge our conscience. And then the next one is a beneficial conscience. Romans chapter 13, and we'll begin reading Romans 13 verse 3. a beneficial conscience. Now, I separated this out from the others because it didn't really go with non-beneficial. It didn't really go with the positive conscience. So, we're looking at Romans 13:3. For rulers are not a terror to good works. You know, was that a policeman? Well, what's it matter? Okay? if you're driving the speed limit, then he's not a ruler to terror. It's got quiet again. But to the evil, wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Well, I think there's a lot of laws that don't make sense. I do too. But he isn't talking about that. He is simply saying, do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the rulers. I'm not worried about getting praise of the rulers. I want to live the way I want to live. Yeah, we're Americans. We got our ideas, and we're not going to agree with anybody. And that's part of the problem we have in our society today. But anyway, verse 4. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. Now, minister there doesn't mean a pastor. It means a servant, all right? For he is the servant of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, if you go over the speed limit, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. Woo! It's going to stop me. I remember when we had a visit from a trooper one time when family was in the car. And I think it was our son Jack. The window was open. He looked at me and says, "He gonna shoot us with that gun?" It caused the stern man to chuckle. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Now, I am well aware that the rulers of a land do not always do that which is good and right. But this is talking about the ones that do. And remember when Paul was living in the era of the Caesars? And all of the persecution that went on, and yet he writes this? Wherefore ye must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. It ought to bother our conscience when we don't do right.
That's right.
I often call my wife the Holy Spirit's helper. Okay? And probably there are other wives who fill that role as well. And but he tells us here that we need to do right for conscience sake. So we have a clear conscience. Now, you will see I have six positive conscience listed here. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience. Oh boy, we like to talk about charity. We like to hear about charity. That's a wonderful subject. We want to show charity. But hey, he says here, you need to do it in a pure heart and of a good conscience. Good conscience. Now, the next one is in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 19. Holding faith. Oh, that's good, man. We need to have strong faith. I need to exemplify my faith for my kids to see. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith. They don't have a clear conscience concerning faith. As a matter of fact, he says that they have made shipwreck. Now, he gives an example here of Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. This idea of turning someone over to Satan is not an easy thing, but it is sometimes the necessary thing if they are going to learn to not blaspheme. Well, I never heard him say anything that I consider blasphemy. How about the way a person lives? That's the blasphemy here. It's not just what's said, it's the whole thing of their life. And so he talks about having a good conscience, and some made shipwreck of it. I'm going to quick jump down to 1 Timothy chapter 3, that's number 11. 1 Timothy chapter 3, number 11. Chapter 3, verse 9. Holding the mystery of the faith. Okay, those intricate things of learning and understanding the things about the Christian faith that we need to have taught to us by the Word of God, through the Word of God. But he says, let's do it in a pure conscience. Let's not have all of this great Bible knowledge and then live unbiblically. Right. In other words, live in ways that are not right. And so in that case, then, you don't have a pure conscience. And your conscience ought to trouble you. And then he gives in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, another one for pure conscience. So I typed these up so you'd have them. I wasn't sure just how far we'd get. We got further than I thought. And now I'm going to wrap it up with this. The conscience is a trustworthy guide only when it is based on the Bible and ruled by the Spirit of God. That's when the conscience, okay, is a guide. In 2004, a religious reporter interviewed then President Barack Obama, and she asked him, "What is sin?" He answered, quoting, "Being out of alignment with my values." Okay. Listen, it's not our values, but God's values from the Bible. Now listen, I know you're still thinking about Obama, but thinking, if my values come from God, then we might answer that way. Okay? Well, my values. Okay, and sin is when I'm out of alignment with my values. Now, you can determine whether you think his values or not came from the Bible. Okay? I'm not here to establish that. But let me give you an example of this type of thing. Well, where do you go to church? I go to church at Black Creek over beyond Cuba. Oh, that's Pastor Asquith's church. Now, what is our sanctified answer to that? No, it's God's church. He's just the pastor there. But you see, we refer to it as Pastor Asquith's. Okay, because God has established him as the bishop here at the church, the one to teach and preach and to lead us. So in that sense, the answer isn't wrong. And so, you know, you can decide on former President Barack Obama's answer, but generally, you know, if you're being interviewed by a religious reporter, it'd be better to answer absolutely clear, okay? And maybe that's what he did. My conscience must be submitted to the will and the word of God. The conscience can be and will be suppressed. It'll be held down. It'll become defiled by sin. Sin will be like water on fire, puts it out, okay? And in this case, sin will put out the conscience, the benefit of it, the purposeful effect of it. And then also, to have a good conscience, a pure conscience, the Christian must avoid those things that will defile and dirty. Well, how can I have a good conscience? Well, don't do the things that bring a bad conscience. Okay, well, I want my conscience pure, that's for sure. Well, then stop listening to the things that put unbiblical ideas in your mind. Now, listen, when it comes to this matter, now, I'm a conservative. As a matter of fact, I have about come to the conclusion that I am a politically, okay, I am a conservative slash libertarian. Okay? Now, I know somebody who is just plain old just says I'm a libertarian. That there's some things libertarians, you know, and I agree with you. Some, I think, who was it? Ronald Reagan said that libertarianism is the core of conservatism. I think that's what was quoted to me recently. Now, you can run that by if you want. But let me tell you, even if I'm watching it on Fox News, if something is said that doesn't line up with the Bible, the Word of God, guess where I have to go? Not to CNN. What I have to do is go to the Bible and get my position and view from the scriptures. And, you know, that's important. It's gotten that kind of quiet again, okay? And that may be because you don't expect an illustration to say those sort of things. Well, you know, that's the way it is. Last two verses, and I'm done. Acts 24:16. And herein I do exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Paul, the great Paul, had to work at this matter of having a good conscience, and a conscience that was void, without offense. You see, I can hold and have a clear conscience regarding some things, and I can become obnoxious about it. Have you ever met somebody like that? They have a good conscience regarding this matter or that matter, and they become, you know, you see them coming, and you know, you find something to do the other way, okay? They're coming straight, and you go left because, you know, they're just always riding. We call it a hobby horse. And Romans 9:1, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. Father in heaven, help us indeed to live in the way that we ought to live, to understand things as we ought to understand them. And Father, I trust that some of the things that I've shared today would be a help, but the biggest help is going to come when we as individuals get into the Bible and pray and submit ourselves to the Holy Ghost. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.